add that. I'll save this for you.
Too fast.
Can we play that?
No.
Oh, come on.
How about we talk about it, then we'll play it at the break. Scraw.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's not saying scraw.
Okay, he is.
I'm so excited.
Is it going right now?
Yeah.
Are we live?
Too fast, y'all.
Too fast.
Too fast for you.
Too furious.
Maine?
I am never in this room unless we're doing a podcast, and I realize this is where all my lighters go. I don't know why they all end up in here, but here they are.
Do you think you'll really get through all the Fast and Furious?
I'm 100% sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Positive.
There's no way you're going to get through them.
Oh, okay.
Not through all of them?
No, he's gonna by the fourth or fifth one, you'll be like, all right, I've had
Jason enough. Doubt how fast and furious we be.
we're very fast and very furious.
In fact, I'm getting more furious from your doubting us.
Right now, I'd say I'm too fast and I'm too furious.
Well, we will be this afternoon.
You guys are going to end this so fast.
And be so pissed about
it. Because you watched the first one last week, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And today, after this, is number two.
I got to tell you, the first one we watched last week. Well, here's our goal. Josh came up with this idea. We are going to watch all the Fast and Furious movies, which this has got, well, I guess James Bond has the most movies in his serial, I guess. But when the new Fast and Furious comes out in April?
Yes.
Is that right? That'll be number 8.
That's right.
So Josh, and not alcohol-related crazy idea, said, hey, let's watch all of them and then time it so we can go watch number 8 when... And I stupidly said, okay.
I think it's a great idea.
And today is number 2.
Yeah.
And actually, though, after last week's number 1, I wanted to watch number 2 right away.
Sure.
And I said, yeah, let's do it. But
I was in, too.
So, but...
I was out.
Yeah.
There was too much adrenaline. I had too much adrenaline going, and if I would have watched the second one, my heart would have exploded.
That's not true. Vibs left in a very... No, I'm going to go.
Wait a minute, is that meow? He's a pussy? Is that a
puce?
No, I see.
I had the bug. I had to go race.
He had a boner, is what he's saying. He's trying to say.
All that nitrous.
By all accounts, we have to suffer through 1, 2, and 3 a little bit, and then once 4 kicks in, apparently they just get better and better.
What? Really? They don't get better till 4?
So,
well, I'm amazed. I don't know how they've all gotten made. I don't. And that's the other fun. I mean, I like action movies, and but I can't imagine. I don't know how all these movies have been made. I don't know how Vin Diesel's famous. I don't get it. I mean, he's not. Is he a good? I don't think he's that good of an actor. I mean, although you said he's in. He's in Saving Private Ryan.
He sure is, and he's good. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have. No. He's good. He's genuinely good in it.
I'd say he's great.
Sure, I think that's fair.
He's great.
He's also in Pitch Black.
I love Pitch Black.
That was a really good movie.
Yeah. He's entertaining to watch, I think.
Yeah.
Is he the one that was a bouncer? Do we know? Is that right?
Or I'm not sure.
Mr. T. I think Mr. T was a bouncer.
And then when you need to be in Rocky 2 or Rocky 3?
Rocky 3.
3.
What's his name in Clubber Lang?
Clubber Lang.
Yeah.
Now, but he was already in A-Team before that, right?
I don't think so.
Rocky, then A-Team?
I believe so.
Okay. Okay.
Vin Diesel's real name is Mark Sinclair. Hate him. He's 50.
You know what?
Wow.
I'm so mad at myself right now because I'm furious because it didn't dawn on me that of course Vin Diesel is a fake name. I didn't think of it at all.
You know what? It was so fake sounding. I was like, that has to be his real name.
Yeah.
Maybe
how I've been.
It just never dawned on me. I don't know why. I guess he looks like a Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel, or should I say Mark Sinclair, has a twin brother named Paul.
Huh, I wonder if they're...
Are you fucking shitting me?
Along with his twin brother, Vin, Paul.
I wonder if they're identical.
Ethanol, or what is he...
There's no way they're identical.
I love how they call him Diesel. Diesel has stated,
Mr. Diesel.
Ambiguous ethnicity is what he said. Weird. His mother's background, English, German, and Scottish. doesn't know his biological father.
I am just so intrigued by how he, you know, because my dream is to be an actor in Hollywood. You know that, and I think I'd be an incredible.
Better get on that.
Yeah, got a couple of days before I die. But
no.
Of course, I.
Another fact: Diesel made his stage debut at the age of 7 in a children's play called The Dinosaur Door.
Oh, that's it's good, and it is it's action packed.
Oh, stop!
He fights so many other kids.
Oh, just beats punching the hell teachers. I gotta
kill this dinosaur.
Best twin movie I think that jumps into mind:
Danny DeVito and Arnold.
No. Oh, what is that? The name is that twins? The
twins.
Yeah.
Is
that twins? The Prestige.
So oh yeah,
and they're really not twin. Is it the Prestige or the because two magic movies like that came out at the same
time?
Yeah,
it's the Prestige.
What's the other one? The Prestige.
The one with
now,
Christian Bale.
This is
Bale
a spoiler alert for those who haven't
yeah.
seen.
Yes, right.
And then there's the one with the guy from Fight Club, Edward Norton.
Yeah, that's the Illusion.
Yes, okay. Yeah, that's that one. I've seen.
That's Ed Norton and Paul Giamatti, right?
Yeah, yeah. Another good movie.
Yeah, that's
those are both
good
pretty
movie.
Good.
Okay, hi, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the Chick McGee Show. How do I know? Oh, this is the new Ryan Adams, everybody.
Nice.
Good album.
It is.
I've listened to it a few times already, and it's solid.
Wonderful.
I look forward to hearing it.
It's a good rock album. I
mean, it seems like greatest hits album. There, I'm going to say it. Every song is.
There's one song late that was just. Kind of, I like the more of a full band.
I bet you like the one I like the most. I bet you'll like that the least. It's called The Prisoner. It's available everywhere or whatever platform.
What, To Be Without You?
To Be Without You.
No, that's a good one.
Oh, that's
a good one. It's a little heavy, though.
No, it's. If you've ever been alive and had to be without somebody, it's a great song.
Yeah, To Be Without You is the name of the title of the song. That's a great song. Actually, TTS just played that this morning.
Oh, did they really?
Mm-hmm. Just heard it.
I think that's my pick to click or whatever they said when I was first started in radio. They came out with music hit list, and you'd check off the songs when you heard them, and because you didn't have all the songs in your hand like we do now.
Yeah,
and then you'd wait until 7 o'clock at night, so they play two Led Zeppelin songs and okay, go ahead.
No, I just, as far as music goes, it's like, how is it going to get any better? Because, you know, everything has gotten better. You're like, oh, you had to get it on a big disc and then it got a smaller disc and it's digital. And then, you know, those little things go in your car and it doesn't skip. And then now we instantly have it in our hands.
I remember when I first got my first 8-track tape player for my car, and it had to be an Under Dash 8-track. It was in my orange Gremlin, my famous orange Gremlin. And I remember the track alignment. You will, Jeff will not understand this at all. And I don't think Josh will either. Well, maybe Jason might not either.
No, I
did you
barely
ever have any music on 8-track?
My dad had a couple, but I remember seeing it. I never messed with it.
I've gone from vinyl to what was the first one? Cassette, I guess. Was vinyl, cassette, and at one point they had reel-to-reel. You could get an album on reel-to-reel.
Wow. What?
Yep.
No.
Yep.
How'd
yep.
that
yep.
sound?
At one point, Columbia House offered albums you could – it was vinyl, vinyl, cassette, or reel, or a reel-to-reel tape. I could shut my eyes
That's
and
crazy.
See the ad. Yeah. And then they – 8-track was undoubtedly – my favorite format was 8-track because you could actually edit. If you had a problem, you could edit the tape and put it back together and put the whole 8-track tape back together.
Oh God, I never thought that you could do that.
Yeah, because it was a quarter inch. I guess
that's right. Yeah,
quarter inch tape. So I vinyl, reel to reel, cassette, 8-track, CDs, and I can plainly remember where I was when I first heard my first CD. I couldn't believe how clear it sounded. And now downloading. And I bet we had this topic on the air one day. What album do you think you've purchased the most versions of?
Mm. Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess it's Goodbye Yeltberg Road from Elton John. I didn't have that on reel to reel, but I had it on all the other formats probably.
Man, yeah.
It was, I wonder what's next.
Well,
man.
It can only get faster, I guess.
Yeah. I mean.
In terms of down, you know, you hit the button and it's immediately there. Because they did, the next thing would be all of us, without you even doing anything, it appears, but that nobody liked that. Remember, you two did it.
Hated it. It still pops up in my car.
And everybody got furious.
Well, but that
about
has
it.
more. For my case, I just don't care for you two that much, other than a couple of songs. But yeah,
yeah.
And it's I think it's a privacy thing. I think that kind of they crossed a line there, don't you think, with privacy and being
but,
able to.
I mean, it was just a weird thing.
Yeah. I'm still digesting that. I know it's been almost 2 years since that happened, but yeah, I don't know how to.
With the 8-track tape format,
it didn't seem right.
With the 8-track tape format, they had something called a head alignment, and I don't know if I'm getting any of the technical part right, but how I understand it is on the 8-track tape there were four different
heads.
Head or four different playback parts, mm-hmm. and if you misaligned the head, you would start to hear another part of the tape.
Yeah.
So if the head was out of alignment, it was
a mess.
It was a mess. And also, if you had a really long song, I remember this with Frampton Comes Alive and Do You Feel Like We Do is like what 8 minutes or whatever, and
it's longer than that, but yeah,
is it? Oh, maybe it is like 14
yeah.
minutes
yeah,
or something.
It is.
Is
yep.
it something like that? Okay,
here it is now.
So,
doing chicks bits.
So the classic chick. Thank you, Jimmy Pardo. So, it had to change tracks in the song. Yeah, that's
a picture
of an
8-track.
That's the inside of the 8-track tape. It's an actual 8-track cartridge.
Yeah, it almost looks like one reel of a reel to reel.
And it would when the tracks would change. Have you ever listened to an 8-track?
Yes,
either
yeah.
you guys. Okay, Josh has. Jeff, have you ever listened?
No.
Not the first car I had an 8-track player in the deck.
That's amazing.
Oh. My first wife and I, we bought a Chevy Vega hatchback.
Oh,
and it had
that extra space at the back.
Is this an 8-track tape player?
That's an 8-track tape
for like a home,
right? And we in the Vega we had 8-track. Cassette, AM/FM player, and we thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
And at home, I had it played vinyl on the top, and then an AM/FM radio, and then an 8-track tape player recorder.
Oh,
so you could record.
What?
Yeah, it was crazy.
You could record albums to the 8-track.
You could record albums to the 8-track.
Listen to those in your car.
But it was a nightmare because
of course.
The tracks were like I think like 20 minutes long or something like that. So, and then when it would hit to 20 minutes, it would go to the next track. There were four tracks on the 8-track tape player, which is kind of but
yeah.
four is the stereo implication
right.
for each track has two left and right. But when it would get to the end of the song, it would clunk. And it would go to the next track, and it was oh my god! So you had to time all that out.
Could you record the radio with that?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I used to do air checks with that. I would I'd have to evidently impose on my wife at the time and ask her to please. Would you just push this button at 6 a.m.? Could you just do that with that? That would really help me out. And she
proved to be a tall order.
My, oh, it was evidently some sort of a monumental task. That
I probably told this before, but
it's worthless and weak. I'm a small penis, and I smelled bad.
Yikes.
And yeah, it was horrible.
No, I used to I would listen to the show when I was in high school, Bob and Tom Show, while I was getting ready, and I'd have a tape in, and I'd hit record and leave for, you know, to get on the bus.
Yeah.
And
no
when,
kidding.
And when I'd get back, I would have 45 minutes of the show I would listen to. Now,
no kidding.
Grant, it's back when you still played music.
Right.
But I still would get a portion of the show. This is probably like 88, I would say.
Good year, good year.
88, 89?
Is that the year you were born?
No, I wasn't alive.
90?
You were like 10 years away from being born or something, right?
Two.
Still swimming around in daddy's ball sack,
yeah,
huh?
Probably not. I probably wasn't created yet. He probably had some other.
Was it 91? Are you 91?
90.
90, okay.
Yeah.
Man, that is so weird to hear a story about this, a fandom like that.
I know I'm not the only one to ever do that, but
I didn't do that, but I purchased all this. I would call 1-800 buy this,
yeah,
and order the CDs before because I didn't have internet to order it,
yeah,
and then they would come in and.
Yeah. Do you remember on the internet when you first remember Leisure Suit Larry?
Oh yeah, but was that internet or was that just a game?
Oh, that was a game.
Yeah,
that's
remember.
Right.
Yeah.
The internet made me think of computers, but in order to start the game, I think you had to hit C:\, enter. You had to put the floppy disk
right.
in, and all
yeah.
that. It was Crazy. You know, and at the time you think, oh, this technology is never, like we said, it's never going to get any better than this.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God.
You're not going to believe what I did last night, chick. Finally.
Threesome?
No. Last night, this movie came out in 1999.
Okay.
I have never seen it until last night.
Beautiful Mind.
Give me a hint.
One of your favorite, one of my favorite all-time movies.
Gladiator.
No, I've seen that.
Goodfellas? Casino?
American Beauty.
This is 1999.
1999. The Matrix.
Oh, oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
The first Matrix is one of the best. I mean, and I get shit for this from people because they automatically put up the nerd wall and they go, oh, that's a nerd movie. It's a great action movie.
It really is. Well, no, I was surprised.
It's a great movie.
For what, 18 years ago it came out, 19 years ago
it was
made.
It looks great today.
There was only one portion of that movie that it was kind of hokey, and that was the kind of the shootout scene between him and Trinity. And it's just – they're just shooting and that's just – The stone walls.
The SWAT team. I was just about to say, that's the best scene in the movie.
I love that, too.
It got long, and it's like, okay.
When they bust into the thing to save Lawrence Fishburne.
Yes, yeah.
What's his character? Morpheus.
I mean, it goes on and on. There could have been...
That's one of my favorites. That's one of my favorite scenes.
There's no less than 10,000 bullets shot, and they're fine. Stone is just
flying everywhere, columns. I love that.
I was okay with it, but it was about 10 minutes too long.
Okay.
I think Chick will know the scene better when the agent has Morpheus and he's like rubbing his head. It reminds me of Bugs Bunny when he's
Elmer Fudd.
He's like, the stench of this place. And he's just grabbing him.
When Hugo Weaving looks at him and goes, can I be honest with you, Morpheus? I didn't want to be here.
I don't want to be.
You know why? It's the smell. It's everywhere. It's you people stink. And
I like that scene because the whole time he was just some guy. You could tell he was kind of the leader, and there was two guys that looked very similar to him. But that gave him some depth, that scene, when he's like, oh, my God, he really has something, a reason to be this way.
Yeah.
What tripped you to watch The Matrix?
My brother-in-law gave me the trilogy or quadrilogy or whatever you call it, because there's a fourth one, right?
Well, there's like sort of an animated thing.
Maybe that's what it is on there. Hmm. There's a fourth one coming out. I believe.
I think they're
working on a fourth one.
I have not heard that at all. But
yeah, I think so. Either way, I told my daughter. I said I had an evening to do whatever, and I know it's like a 2-hour 15-minute movie, and I thought she kind of likes little sci-fi things. I said, hey, I'm going to watch The Matrix. This is a classic. This is an amazing movie. Blah blah blah. She never came down. She just sat upstairs on her bed. Looking at her phone, so. But I was like, I have to watch this because you've been talking about it for.
It's just a great.
How I missed it, I don't know. But
where are you at on 2 and 3?
Yeah, that's my question. Do I go in?
I would not. I think 1 stands alone, and I really didn't like 2 or 3 very much. I guess I like 3 a little bit more than I like 2, but I can plainly remember we had sneak previews of it and tickets, and I got. For I forget restoration or what is it?
Matrix
rebooted or it starts with an R.
And then
Matrix Revolution.
That's part 3, I think.
Three.
I
was,
don't remember.
I enjoyed 3, but nowhere near
Reloaded. Matrix.
It's Revolutions.
Reloaded
is part 2
and,
or
well,
3.
Reloaded is 2.
Yeah, Revolutions is 2. Okay.
Revolutions is 3. Yeah, and there is somebody I forget which comedian it was, but he goes The Matrix Part 3, it's like almost a battle of the voiceover actors at the end of that with the I'm not sure who the actor is he's all dressed all in white and he has a beautiful voice and he finally tells Neo, you know, what everything that happened. But that first movie, I don't think I'm sorry I watched 2 and 3, but I really enjoyed 1.
They're much harder to revisit. 2 and 3.
I can watch 1. Having talked about it, I'll watch it this week at some point. It's a great movie.
The entire franchise, those 3 movies, made $1.6 billion worldwide.
Yeah, it was
that's crazy.
Insane. Well, and there's another from the
$100 billion.
And there's another movie by the Wachowski. How do you Wachowskis? What are
Wachowski?
They? Wachowski. Yeah.
Now the Wachowski sisters.
Are they?
They both transitioned.
They both. No kidding.
What? Yeah.
I knew the one guy. They reassigned their gender.
Yeah.
But then both of them did. That's really.
Yeah. The one did, and then a couple years later, the second one did.
Huh.
I did not know about. It's like the Matrix trilogy. I didn't know about number two.
They have a wide berth with me. They've had a couple missteps, but
I recently watched a movie and I thought it was cool but I don't remember the name of it.
Cloud Atlas?
Yes, Cloud Atlas. I really like it. I warn you about it. I mean, Matrix is a great movie, but Cloud Atlas, I think, is kind of an acquired taste thing.
I think so too.
Yeah,
I love it.
And I was intrigued. Yeah, it's a great movie, and I like it too. I was unaware of the book, and you said the book was amazing.
Yeah, I'd read the book, and then when I heard they were making the movie, I went, how are they going to do this?
Yeah.
And they did it. They did it just like the book. And
quite involved.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're going to watch it, just go for the ride. Don't overthink it while you're watching it. You'll drive yourself crazy. Just sort of just check it out. Yeah.
Did we start the show?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. Hi, this is Chick McGee. I'm Chick McGee. That's Jason Hofsetz. That's Jeff Vibbert.
JeffVibbert.com.
And our guest this week is Josh Arnold, and it doesn't sound the same. Oh, Josh
Arnold. JoshArnold.com.
That Josh Arnold.com.
It doesn't seem like we're doing a podcast because you guys are always here, so it's kind of different. But Josh and I saw a movie recently together, the Lego Batman movie.
Yes.
And my problem with it is I laugh too much. I need to go back and see it again. It's really, really good.
It was one of those things where I feel like we barely laughed the last 30 minutes. We were laughed out.
Mm-hmm.
We were still enjoying it.
Very much so.
But there was no reason to physically laugh anymore. Yeah.
Laughed out.
Have you ever gotten that way?
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Tim Wilson used to say that because in the early, when we first started the Bob and Tom Comedy Tour, we would have 6 or 7 comedians. And I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Me or Christy would host. And Tim would say, and these shows would be 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
And I mean, Tim was the first one to tell me that people get tired of laughing.
They do.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. They're worn the fuck out, you know, and it's hour and a half, hour 45, maybe two, and that's all that people can
absolutely
take.
Absolutely. That's why a lot of headliners don't like a lot of guest spots in front of young comedians. They're always like, he wouldn't let me do a guest spot.
Right,
you got to remember, he's on last.
Tim
he
said,
wants them laughing at the end.
Tim kind of said there was like a pitcher, like a water pitcher, and there's so many laughs in that, and when you pour
analogy
them all out, and they're gone.
Yeah,
you know, there's no more. The laughter's empty for.
And you never know with a guest spot if the guy is a good comedian. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right.
I think it's rude. I mean, I enjoy seeing like a great guest spot. I mean, who wouldn't enjoy seeing a bad one? I guess. But I don't think, you know, that people say, hey, can I jump in and do a guest spot?
Well,
no.
It's not rude when it's, 10:30 Saturday or 10:30 Friday. Because, quite honestly, a lot of the headliners go, man, can we get somebody to do a guest spot so I can do 5 minutes less?
Oh, God, Josh.
That kind of thing.
I don't know. Did you ever work Zany's in Nashville? I'm sure you did.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite clubs
it's
ever.
It's a great club. Brian Dorfman, the guy who runs it, one of my favorite people. He's a great guy. I miss Dorf. But they would do... Now, kids, listen to Uncle Chick.
Uh-huh.
Saturdays, they would do 3 shows. Three fucking shows.
Same with the St. Louis Funny Bone.
No kidding?
It was
I didn't know anybody
7:30,
else ever did
10
that.
And midnight.
But I think Nashville was 7. Was it 7 they started? I forget. 7, 9:30, and...
11:30, maybe?
No, 7, 9, and 11:30, I think, or something like that. Maybe that's how. Anyway, by the third... And I used to host down there, and I would... By the third show set, and I, you know, come out and say hi. I was certain everything I was saying I'd said before.
Of course.
Like 2 seconds before I was saying it. It was exhausting.
Were those shows ever sold out?
Yeah. I mean, fuck yeah.
Zany's, absolutely.
Yep.
The St. Louis Funny Bone would sell out the midnight very rarely.
Okay.
But on average, there were 50 people there, so it was still worthwhile.
All right.
And they weren't, a lot of times they weren't drunks. They were stoners.
Yeah.
So you would go up thinking, oh, I got to be dirty and filthy. This is the midnight show. They're rowdy. and those jokes wouldn't work, and then you'd do something sort of cerebral, and those jokes would kill.
Okay.
You're like, oh, I've got this wrong. I should be doing weird,
yeah,
intelligent material for these stoners to think about.
All right.
Vibbert and I went to a comedy club last night, and all of a sudden he left. I don't know what was going on in his world.
That's my new thing.
That's your M.O. now, yeah.
Ghosted. He just you look up, and he's left $10 for the server, and he's gone.
He ghosted us. Two weeks ago, too.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, he did the same damn thing.
But
you put a tracker on him.
Maybe for bigger and better things.
It's an Irish goodbye.
Well, there's
I love that, yeah.
In the world of bros, the only thing that makes that okay is that, was there puss on the end?
Going to get some puss. Yeah.
Okay.
I had to.
What happened?
This time I warned you. I was like, hey, I have a housewarming party to go to.
Yeah, that's true. You did tell me
so,
that.
So I went to his house.
Who has a housewarming party?
Well, this is an interesting.
Josh has a new place. He hasn't warmed his place up yet. He's been there 6 months.
That, Josh? Jason, why don't you have a housewarming
party? Who has a housewarming party? Girls. That's who has a housewarming party.
Yeah. Okay. This is a there's definitely a shift in one's – like you can tell somebody's hit a certain age when they start going to housewarming
party. Okay.
No, it used to be house party.
Yeah.
It was a house party because I'm there. I'm the oldest person there. Like –
Whoa!
Really?
You're 26 and 3/4.
These people all just graduated from Purdue. There was a couple people that were older than me.
Purdue.
Like,
all
right. Yeah.
I sense this party would go one of two ways: one of the most fun nights ever, or insufferable.
Yeah. So I'm in the kid. This is how the night went. Everyone's like, "Oh, where did you graduate?" And I was like, "2013." And they're just like, oh, high school? And I go, no, college. And they're just like, ugh.
Well, you also look young.
Well, yeah, look at you. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Was it a point in the evening where you were answering like that? No.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Get away from me. But no, it turned out it was very – a couple people. And then all of a sudden I look up and it is packed. And there's people out on the back porch playing beer pong and like bonging beers. And I'm like, this is a legit college party. I'm back. This is
okay. So it was a mixture of both.
Like, so did it go from yes, no to oh my god, this is the greatest time I've ever had?
I was having fun and I got pretty drunk. Like I'm drunk, and all of a sudden they're like, "Hey, we're gonna go to the bars," and I was like, "I don't think that's a good idea."
So you were by yourself?
I was with some friends. Like I was meeting up with some friends.
Okay.
There's a girl that I'm talking to that I was. She was there.
Oh, is that good. The verb you want, talking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that the verb she wants?
Yeah, that's
yeah, it's right. The verb she's going to get. So we start walking to the bar, and she was going slow. She was wearing heels or something like that. So I go, hop on my back. So I start running with her on my back.
Oh, this is fun.
I threw my back out.
Oh.
Like my back is done. Right. I'm too old to party. So we get to the bar. We get to the bar, and I get a drink, and I should not have gotten this drink. I don't know. I was being I'm drunk, and I'm talking to the bartender, and I was like, make it really strong. Make mine strong. And he's like, why are you being so weird and like whispering that to me? So I get my drink, and then I'm like, yeah, let's go to the dance floor. So we're on the dance floor, and I start dabbing. If you don't know what dabbing is, it's that Cam Newton thing.
Yeah. Now, this is almost out of fashion, or is it out of fashion?
Oh, it's completely done. Like,
okay, that's
it's
what I been thought.
Done. Little
that's,
kids that, are doing
that's
it.
What yeah. I thought.
That's
yeah,
what
yeah.
yeah.
So my biggest fear is dancing in public. Like, I hate dancing.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm
right there with you on
I don't
that.
Know what yeah. to do, so I just start dabbing. It. And I'm, like, just grinding on random people.
Oh.
And I'm dabbing really hard, and I dab aggressively.
And you're grinding really hard?
I dab so hard, and I knock two people's drinks out of their hands.
Oh, you're that guy.
And then someone's like, come on, man. I'm like, don't bring your drink to the dance floor if you don't want it spilled, bro.
Well, no, that's true.
That's true.
So next thing I realize, I'm walking out of the bar. I think they went to my friends like, this guy's got to leave. He's out of control. And on my way out, there's a table. Like, on my way out, I'm dabbing. And then there's a table of people that are just looking at me. And I look at them. And I just look at the girl that I'm with. And she goes, don't do it. And I go up to them and I just dab as hard as I can at their table. And they just give me a thumbs up like, attaboy.
Oh, my God.
And then I went to Qdoba.
I think I dabbed some more.
Wait. At this point, Qdoba was still open?
Oh, Qdoba's 24 hours in Broaderville.
Oh, and, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. No, I was going to say, this was an early drunk.
It's 8 o'clock. No, this is – I don't know what time it was.
Oh, okay.
I didn't look at my phone. Time did not exist last night.
No, reasonable.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that weird how you – it's one of those nights, man. Yep. And the next thing you know, and you go through the process in your brain. I don't care what age you are. It's like, this is a bad idea. I shouldn't be – and the next thing you know, you're being escorted out of the bar.
Yeah.
So. It was fun, though.
And then I ran into one of my friends, and she goes – I thought you didn't come to go out to bars like this. I go, I don't, but I'm going hard tonight. And then now when I woke up, I regret it.
So did you all Uber out to the bars?
We walked. And of course, there's the Monon that goes through Broaderville, which is like a bike path. And yeah, we'll just take the Monon. And this girl goes, hey, the path is this way. And I go, no, this way.
Oh,
and
God. She goes,
no. So I made my own path. You hear branches breaking. I'm walking through thorn bushes. And I pop out of – they're on the trail, and I just pop out of nowhere. And like, we heard you. That was not a path. We know that. She's like, I hate you for doing it. I was like, no, it's fine.
Oh, my God, Jeff.
And then I piggybacked her. And then this morning I went to my parents to pick up the dog because I left her there last night. And I bent down to pick her up, and I lifted her in my back. I was like, I'm too old to party.
Mm. Well, that's a lot of dabbing. Probably going to wear you out, you know? Your neck?
Yeah.
How did that start? I'm a real fuzzy on,
right?
Wasn't I think
it was Cam Newton.
But it was,
he would score. And
you know, you can explain the Macarena and you can high fives and the forearm bash that they did. But I don't know where the fuck did dabbing come from? Why is it called that?
I'm pretty sure it's just music. They'll think of a dance move and music and then what was it? Whipping and nay-naying. God, I sound old.
Yeah.
Yeah, whip. Yeah, okay. Watch me. Let me
now. Watch me whip.
Watch me.
Okay.
Watch me. Nay, nay,
nay, nay.
The dab has its origins in the Atlanta hip hop scene.
Yep.
Ah,
okay.
Great show, by the way, Atlanta.
Yeah, there's a handful of artists. You know, no one I know. Skippa da Flippa.
Yep, Skippa.
Pee Wee Longway. Rich the Kid. I don't know
any of these people, but I'm pretending that they do.
They do sound like Paul Rubens came up with all these names.
Yeah.
Another thing.
Well, hey, Rich the Kid is here.
Hey.
When we were out on the dance floor, there was this gentleman who had a camera, and he was filming this girl twerk, like, up close, and she was just, like, popping her butt.
Yes.
And I saw this, and I was like, I got to get on this camera. It's so, like, I kept trying to, like, get behind this girl and, like, get on the camera. They're like, filming some promotional video, a porno probably, I don't know.
Isn't it funny how that just goes, all of a sudden, like, right now, you go, I would never think about jumping into somebody's video like that. But last night, that was your number one goal in life.
Yep.
That's why you were born, and I'm going to go do this.
Yeah. Yep. A lot, but even the dudes' drinks that I knocked, like, everyone was having fun just because you're on the dance floor. Everyone's just feeling it. You know what I mean?
Right.
People were, and then one girl.
I don't think I've ever been to a dance club.
Ever?
I don't think so.
Huh.
No.
They can be very fun.
You know?
Do you dance, Josh?
Sure, yeah.
You kill it?
What's your go-to move?
Were you in the...
I don't have a go-to move.
Weren't you in the song and dance club there in Missouri?
Yeah, I was in show choir in high school, but I don't use...
What's the name of it? The song and dance choir, wasn't it, or something like that?
Premier. The name of us was... The name of the show choir was Premier.
It was called Premier.
Yeah.
So you would go, hey, do you have Premier tonight?
Yeah. No? You know what? We would say, do you have show choir?
You have show choir.
Yeah.
Okay. Because my daughter was in show choir in Carmel, the high school she went to. And the Ambassadors, I think, or something like that was her name. Yeah. Is that right?
And the guys wore tuxedo pants and a tuxedo shirt with sequined fuchsia bow tie and vest.
And what was your school color? Did it have anything to do with the school colors?
It was as close to we were maroon and black.
Okay.
So that was as close to maroon as black as
good colors
they wanted to get.
So would you do like reviews or would you do like musical plays?
We would do reviews. So we would come out, it would just be like, you know, ladies and gentlemen, premiere, and we would turn the beat around.
So
love to hear that guy. And then the next song we would, it was actually looking back,
So would hilarious. You would you have an autumn and a spring and a winter play?
We at least had two.
At least two.
Yeah, if I remember. And then we would go on trips every year.
Ooh,
Branson, Missouri.
We did go to Branson one
year. Yeah,
no kidding.
Yeah, that was like a side trip. Like we had two trips that
show
year.
Capital of the world.
We went. That was a Branson and Lake of the Ozarks trip, and then the other that year we also went to New York City. Oh no, Toronto, I think.
No kidding. You didn't take a bus, though.
You took high school kids to Toronto, huh?
Yes.
You'd have a passport?
Yeah. This was pre 9/11.
Yeah.
And New York City and Chicago. Looking back, my God, I didn't care for it. I liked all my friends in it and stuff.
Right.
But it was just. I have dreams to this day, like once every 2 months. Where I go up to the show choir teacher and go, I'm quitting. I can't. I don't like this.
Did you get into some mischief on these trips?
Touching a boob in the back of the bus, stuff like that?
I did not. No.
I was on the football team for 4 years, and that's the only thing I did in the extracurricular vein. But it's the football bus when you go to the away games.
Yeah.
But I was always told that the band guys, the band geeks, they like partied and they were the hard drinkers and they just lost their minds on the bus, on the road trips.
We were partiers outside of show choir, but not during the trip. They were way too strictly chaperoned.
Hmm.
So, and I really liked a girl that was in the show choir and she didn't like me back sort of. And so that didn't. So I was never trying to hit on anybody else.
Looking back, gotcha, right.
I should have been firing on.
Right.
When's the last time you had a party night like Jeff had last night?
Man, it's been a while. But I was that guy. I would do that too. I mean,
knocking drinks.
Yeah. I would get.
The helicopter. Is that what you do?
All right. Start. I would do like a crazy kick dance.
I hated.
Everybody would have to like quickly get out of the way.
I love it.
Okay, ask me.
Chick, when's the last time you party hard?
The only thing that's jumping to mind is I was at the old Morty's location, the old Morty's Comedy Club, and they were recording a podcast after the show, and they asked me to stay, and Carmen Lynch was being interviewed, a great stand-up comedian, and... I know the tape's out there somewhere. I was supposed to be participating in the podcast, but by the time the podcast happened after the second show on a Saturday night, so that's, 1 o'clock? Right around. I passed out at the during the podcast, and there are various comments made during the recording. Is he awake? Is he okay? Is he still breathing? Shit like that. And, I'm pretty proud of that.
Man.
Yeah. So that's where I would get... I think that's where, most recently, that's where I would get the most severely overserved would be at a Morty's because they all kind of, I'm sure it was a very conscious decision. It was very nice of them they kind of got to take care of Chick. He's going to be here tonight.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I hardly ever do that anymore, and I don't know why, unless I'm here.
It's, to me, the reason
I have not even gotten a buzz in this house from alcohol yet.
Really?
From alcohol, so yeah.
Wow.
So it's been a while.
Housewarming party you had.
Oh, I did a little bit. That's right. I'm sorry.
It was not a housewarming party.
It was a housewarming.
It was a housewarming party. Yeah, it was. Sure. Do you got against housewarming party? Yeah.
It sounds so, I don't know.
Adult and nice and, I don't know.
As Jeff said, it sounds like something a woman does.
Yeah, well, at this party, someone brought in a bottle of champagne, and I go, I'm going to drink that tonight.
Yeah.
It's not my house.
Isn't it funny how you think that when you're that way?
Yes.
Everybody does it, right?
Like, hearing Jeff talk about it makes me want to have one of those nights
again. Right, yeah, you know?
The next day is so brutal.
I feel great.
I have that alcohol allergy.
Oh, God, yeah.
I'm out for 3 days. It's awful. So, but it is worth it every couple times a year.
Are you allergic to hard drugs?
Not that I know of.
Well, let's try that.
That's a good idea.
And that's how it starts.
Yeah. The reason I asked if that party would be sort of insufferable is because Don't you find when you're hanging out with people that aren't funny, it's really – like we hang out with the funniest people there are for the most part. All four of us do.
Oh, God, yeah.
And when you hang out with people who don't make you laugh, and a lot of people straight out of college or just at a party,
yeah,
they're not as funny as they think they are.
Right.
It's like, why am I here?
That's Jerry Seinfeld. He was talking about I forget what episode it was, but one of the comedian guests asked him, where did you come up with this idea to do Comedians in Cars? He goes, well, I love driving. I love cars. I like coffee. And comedians are the only people I want to talk to because they're going for the laugh just like I'm going for a laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
And my thing has always been if I'm in a conversation and you're not going to laugh a lot during the conversation, what's the point?
Yeah.
And
wow.
You know, this happened to me last night. I was being, I guess looking back, I was being kind of a jerk and an asshole. I was talking to this guy that I don't know really that well at all. And I was talking to him and I told him this, you know, elaborate story. And I told it in such a way where he did not pick up that I was joking or kidding or anything. He thought I was being absolutely serious about the topic I was discussing. And he came up later during the evening and again apologized for how the world had treated me. And that was a horrible thing. And I went, dude, I was joking around. I don't know, you know. And then you feel like an asshole because...
Whereas with anyone else, you would never have to explain
I wouldn't, because they'd know. They'd be right on... They'd be with me going, yeah,
that person,
I know you were messing around, right?
A comedian would have made...
Right.
Would have said something funnier... Then you would have said something funnier than that, and it would have built until you couldn't stand it.
I don't know. Is that snotty? Is that a snotty attitude?
A little bit, I think it's earned.
Yeah.
I do. Guess.
I mean,
I agree.
God knows I'm capable of having a serious discussion.
Right, of course.
But, I mean, yeah, it's like what we say. We were trying to think of some place to have lunch on Friday or on Thursday or whatever, and I said, let's go to that place because it's – close to where I tan. I just walk. You know, I mean, I guess we have interesting, I don't know.
I mean, that's what the mundane is funny. Like, the way we treat the mundane is even funny. So it's like, yeah, I'll go out with you three people that I just met, but you need to remember, I got drunk with Chad Daniels last month. This isn't going to be as fun.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Chad, I mean, he sets the bar pretty
pretty
high.
Yeah.
You know, I do want to, while I got you two guys, you comedians here, you comedians, something popped into my mind about college kids and things like that. Let's come back and talk about the climate on college campuses and why it's all of a sudden almost impossible to have comedians perform on campus. You guys know. You guys, of course, know what I'm talking about.
I was not aware of this.
Okay, let me tell you about TrueCar here on the Chick McGee Show right here. Huh? TrueCar. You thinking about buying a car? Well, you know, TrueCar, over 3 million cars sold, over 13,000 dealers participate in TrueCar, and over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles are available from TrueCar with an average of over $3,000 off the MSRP. If you're not hooking up with TrueCar, you're not going to get the best deal that you can get. Why not take advantage of all the technology? It's out there. You know, a lot of people don't know that TrueCar can also help you buy a used car. There are over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar. You'll see what other people paid for the car you want so you can know what a fair price is and you feel confident going in. There's nothing more depressing than feeling like you're paying too much for whatever you're buying, especially a car. And with TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing so you can enjoy a quick, easy buying experience. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the new or used car you want. TrueCar shows their customer all of their available incentives before they arrive at the dealership. And remember, 3 million cars sold, 13,000 dealers, 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available with an average savings of over $3,000 off the MSRP. Take advantage of TrueCar. That's TrueCar.com. And hook it up, and you'll be driving it. You'll be styling and profiling. Do they say that?
Oh, yes, I love that. They say that all the time.
Yeah. They say that a lot?
Okay. I don't know who they are, but yes.
I don't know either. That's TrueCar.com. Okay, we'll be back with part two of the Chick McGee Show on Podcast One. gone in my side. More new Ryan Adams.
I had a premonition.
According to this reporter, he's kind of the shit. Yes, yes, Jason.
He's going to sit right here someday.
Oh, my gosh. He's aware of me because I got the 79 connection, and he...
Well, he direct messaged you.
Tweeted me back and then direct messaged me and suggested an album I should listen to, which is amazing. This is called The Prisoner. The album came out last week.
He's got kind of a Neil Young flavor.
A little, yeah. He did just him acoustic at Carnegie Hall. I don't know how many songs he did. Hundreds. It seemed it's just
stand
wonderful.
Up in between.
And he, it's the funniest stand up album I've ever seen or ever heard. I'm sorry. And he looks at this guy in the front row and he goes, "Wow, you look depressed." And then he goes, "What am I thinking? Of course you're depressed. You're at a Ryan Adams show." It's just I like him very much.
Will he do Whiskey Town songs when he's?
He was just on fellow podcaster, some call him the Podfather, Mark Maron's.
Oh, was he really?
WTF last week. And he talked about Whiskey Town, but he didn't. He does do some of the songs every now and then. He still does those. But yeah, that was. He said it got to the point where it was just me and Caitlin, and couldn't do anything else. So
yeah.
Anyway, I like him very much. And if you like the Chick McGee Show, like I like Ryan Adams, here's what you need to do. Somebody ask me what you need to do.
Chick, what do you need to do?
Thank you, Josh. You need to go to podcastone.com/mysurvey. This will help the Chick McGee Show incredibly and all the chick heads out there.
So if I go to this, I fill out a survey.
You fill out a survey.
Love it, that kind of thing.
Exactly. And I found last week when I was giving this podcast1.com/mysurvey a cursory glance, I noticed that the Chick McGee Show is listed under T for the Chick McGee Show. So I immediately think, I get paranoid, oh, they're trying to hide us. Is that what they're trying to do? They're trying to keep me down? I don't think so, really. Honestly, it takes about 5 minutes. Go to podcastone.com/survey or podcastone.com and click on the survey banner at the top of their homepage. If you filled out a survey with Podcast One in the past, we thank you. But this is the first one that we've had anything to do with because we've been with Podcast One for 6-7 months. So this will be our first chance to see how much you like the Chick McGee Show. We really would appreciate it. Go to podcastone.com/mysurvey. Do us a huge favor, a huge solid, and please support the Chick McGee Show. And that will keep the podcast coming to you free to download, minimal ads, and the quality that you've come to expect over the 6 months here at the Chick McGee Show.
We made a big mistake last time. I promised a free cheesy bread if you did the survey.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you did. I think I mumbled when you said an offer will not be honored.
Okay, well,
I don't know.
I'm gonna deliver those cheesy breads for the people that I said would, but from, offer's void now.
That was it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you really are gonna do it?
So what's go to Utah?
So what's the next thing? What's your next offer? Now it's not cheesy bread.
No, don't listen to him. Don't listen to him.
You got what's your next offer?
Free
Jeff?
Brownie bites. You got to put a
free brownie bites. Okay. All right.
Offer not void anywhere.
That means it's void.
That's right. You're right. Offer void everywhere.
Okay.
That's a great disclaimer. Offer non-void everywhere. Wait a minute. What are you? What did I promise when we come back? Oh, college campuses kids. And politically correct and standing up comedians having what I seem. It's gotten down to me, so I know when the rumors and the talk gets down to me, it's been going on for quite a while. Comedians, your brethren, Josh, Jeff, they are being pretty vocal about the fact that the last bastion of free speech in the arts, it seems like it's always been the stand-up comedian. I mean, they've always – you can't control what the stand-up's going to say. You know, you can tell them, like, don't say fuck, don't say cunt, and, you know, the basic stuff.
Yeah.
And, of course, you guys in between each other, which I found fascinating when I first started hosting the comedy show gigs, and I've heard a conversation like this. Hey, Hey, comedian. Yes, Mr. Comedian. Do you do any stuff about mailboxes? Yes, Mr. Comedian. I do a couple jokes about mailboxes. Well, don't do them tonight because I've got a big mailbox hunk. And that honestly happens,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And I have spent most of my comedy career as a middle act, as a feature.
Okay.
And there were some times where the headliner would go, hey, do you have something on, getting a brand new puppy? And I would say no. And you go, okay, good, I've got. And that never bothered me. It bothers some openers. Like, how can he tell me not what, right, you know, what? Well, he's not doing it. The headliner, he or she, is not doing it for their own ego. I like to think it's for the quality of the show.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a very altruistic attitude to have. That's very optimistic of you to think that. But
and maybe naive is what it could be. But I like
yeah,
to think,
maybe.
I guess I like to think that way because that's how I would go about it.
Am I wrong by saying this? I think the people, the comedians who say that to other comedians, give them guidelines on material. I think the comedians who say that are weaker comedians.
Potentially. Because
I want to say generally.
A confident comedian.
Exactly.
Would go, oh, great. Well, I've got one too. And they would go do theirs, maybe with the idea of mine's going to be funnier.
Right.
Or
right.
At the very least, mine's going to be my own take.
Right.
So, and it's always kind of fun. I've had headliners also say, oh, okay, cool. No, keep doing it. Because I've gone up to headliners before and said, hey, man, I've got this thing about parenting that's similar. And then you've got like a thing about it.
Right.
It's a little similar. What do – and usually they'll go, no, well, no, you don't have kids, so yours is different than mine. I'm talking about my kids. You're talking about what if you had kids.
I mean, it could kind of potentially get out of control. Like you could
exactly.
Say, don't do anything about mammals that breathe oxygen.
Right, right.
You know, it's like, well, wait a minute.
The great Vince Morris, he came up to me before.
Oh, I love Vince.
The first week I was ever working with him, he came up to me and he goes, do you have anything about love or or men and women or dating or sex? And I go, and he goes, just don't do any of that.
Oh, that's great.
Kind of playing off of, obviously playing off of the idea of that there are comics out there who will tell you, hey, don't do this, don't do that.
Oh, he's the best.
So
but that comes off of, do you guys think, or I don't know if you work colleges since this has started to be a thing, and I don't know how long it's been going on, but apparently out there, college campuses, which is various breads and butters of comedians. I mean, isn't there like a convention that goes on where they, as a comedian, you can attend this convention to possibly be booked at campuses across.
Yes, because they're very lucrative gigs.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, do they pay twice as much, or is that too generous? Or
I mean,
yeah.
Depends. Again, I've never been paid as a headliner at a college. But it's when I talk to headliners about the pay they get, it's sometimes unbelievably outrageous. Because these groups at the universities have money they have to spend.
They have to spend this money.
Or else the next year it gets taken away from them.
Exactly.
So they just throw it out there.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But
my point is if comedians and if it gets to the point that enough comedians feel like they're being censored unfairly on college campuses, they might stop doing the gigs, but having said that, how do you say goodbye to all that money?
Well, I guess some people will.
Yeah.
And they'll just suck it up, or other people will go, it's not worth my artistic integrity or putting up with it. I don't need it.
So, and it's got to, I don't know what the term is, but it's this liberal Nazi or whatever. I mean, I think
fanatic,
it's
almost politically correct. I don't know.
A fanatical liberal, I guess, is let's not upset anybody by saying anything about, you know, someone who's overweight or someone who has a lazy eye or someone has one arm or someone's black or white or purple or Polish or, you know, I think it's going to be, we can't have this, right?
Bad. It's bad. I first noticed it when I do material about how I'm overweight, and it was sort of this self-deprecating material, and they thought I was being mean, and I'm talking about myself. And I had to go, are you guys
listening to my show at all?
And I went, you know what? You being upset about me joking about myself actually makes me feel bad about myself. Like you think I should feel bad When really I feel okay, I feel fine.
I'm fine with it. I'm able to joke about this. Right.
But the fact that you think I should be ashamed of this is actually what makes me feel bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a friend who's in a wheelchair and he does jokes about being handicapped. Yeah. And some lady was like,
"Is he a stand up?"
Yeah, he's a stand up comedian. Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But he can't stand up when he's doing.
Okay.
is that one of his jokes?
No. Is that his opener?
No, that's his opener.
Am I in trouble?
That's his closer.
I'm a sit here comedian.
I'm sitting here. Never.
But he was doing jokes about being handicapped, and the lady's like, some lady in the front, you can't do these jokes.
Oh, he's
like,
can't I?
He's like, lady, like, this is my whole fucking, like, this is my life. Like, yeah, right, yeah,
that's right. All I got.
Yeah.
This hit a national, this got national attention when Jerry Seinfeld came out.
I was just going to say, Seinfeld is probably the most famous, most vocal.
Yeah, and he said, I won't do them anymore. They're too uptight. They don't laugh. They're too politically correct. And they get offended too easily. And then what happened? All these colleges said, we're offended by this.
Yeah.
You can't say this about us. Just proving his point.
I had another friend who just did a college show, and he has a very funny joke about Spanish women or someone discovering the Spanish discovering Florida and manatees and something like that. And it's a very funny joke. It's not racist or whatever. It's a funny joke. And if you're listening, you're going to laugh. And this girl stood up and was like, Spanish women are strong and independent. You're a racist in the middle of this show in a theater. And it's just like, calm down.
Yeah.
You're coming to laugh. Like,
people are looking for it. They're seeking it out.
I guess that's my problem with the whole thing. I mean, I can understand. I'm all about being nice and kind. And if you're telling a joke, I don't know.
One of the best parts of liberalism is, hey, let's be kind to each other. Let's treat each other with respect. But it's gotten so far that it went from all-inclusive to very exclusive. In an attempt to be open-minded, a lot of them have become super close-minded.
Yes.
It's weird. It's a weird thing.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, used to, that would just be in the confines of a dorm room, you would express these things. But now with Twitter, Facebook, that's conditioned people that they can say it anytime, anywhere.
Yeah, and that it matters.
And then it matters. Like,
yeah. Oh, I got 7 retweets. People must care what I say.
Right.
Not necessarily.
It's all porn bots that retweeted it. They're not real people.
Well, it's disconcerting. But the pendulum will eventually swing back.
You think so?
Yes, it has to. And not just because it has. I mean, that's just how it works. It just does.
I mean, I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, I know that, you know, if you're nice and kind, I think everything should be all right. And there are some things that you can joke about, I guess. And I think we all know what they are. But there's some things that you absolutely can't joke about. And I think we all know what those are.
There are plenty of comedians who would go, no, you can joke about anything.
You can joke about anything if you have the skill to joke about it. Because there's a lot of comedians that are just starting out. They're 6 months into comedy.
That's the larger point. You guys know this. I bitch about it all the time. How many comedians we have that I meet that I'm going to go see this guy, not because he's funny, but because I have no idea how he's making a living telling people he's a stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They're not. My
Mrs. Monkey funnier than he is. I mean, bless her heart.
Well, that's right. Jeff makes a great point. It's Louis C.K. can make a pedophile joke that is genuinely funny and thoughtful.
Yeah.
But then every open micer sees that and goes, I can do that.
Exactly.
And you can't.
Yeah.
Not because you haven't earned the right to. It's because you haven't earned the skill to be able to do it right.
It's kind of like a guy watching HGTV and seeing no matter what they say, these guys are all master carpenters or whatever.
Yes.
And he goes, well, I'm going to add a bathroom onto the back of my house and kills everyone doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw right. that guy on HGTV do it. I can do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's the old Jurassic Park thing. It's not, it's not a matter of if we could, it's if we should. Should you really be doing jokes about rape,
or should you be a comedian at all, given the fact that you're not funny
and right, maybe you should probably have a blog. That's how I feel about a lot of.
There you go.
Hey, well,
it's like a comedian's. Well, you're a comedian.
Don't lump me in at these fake bloggers. I'm a real blogger. All right.
That's a new topic we need to talk about. I don't know when, but Jeff Vibbert has his own blog, jeffvibbert.com. Look for that blog, baby.
That's one thing. Like I've been posting the blogs, and people don't even read what I wrote. They just see the headline and they get offended by it.
Well, that's definitely part of the society.
But one person, I did the three creepiest dad kisses, and it's comedy. It's a joke. Like,
right.
I'm not writing this because
that creepy Brady kiss and his dad though is. I mean, that could very well be Clooney and his wife. I mean, that is.
Yeah,
that's alarm. I mean, they're almost in an embrace. I mean,
but the funniest part about it was some guy was like, I don't think Jeff Vibbert should be able to express his opinion on dads kissing their kids. Does he have kids? No. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm just someone's son, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, no, you,
half of it.
You have a dad.
Yeah.
And you don't want to kiss your dad that way.
Exactly.
Right.
Are there people who aren't offended, but they are hooked on or That's how they've gotten their fame or
absolutely.
Whatever on, by complaining about things.
That's exactly right.
And by gosh, they're not in reality. They aren't offended at all.
No,
at all. They just want to get a little sunlight.
That's absolutely right. Yep. Because they're not creating anything themselves.
No, exactly. They're taking what's been created and going, okay, well, there's got to be something
here. That's their only way of getting the attention that you would get if you were to create something yourself. It's troubling. It is troubling. But when you're an artist, when you create something yourself, you have to let it go.
You just looked at me when you said artist.
Which is why and we know that liberals aren't the only culprits here. The worst thing Donald Trump has done, okay, not depending on your politics, there are probably way worse things he's done. As a comedian, I hate.
Oh, wait a minute. What time is it?
See,
that was a joke.
You're right.
I'm not going to say if I'm pro-Trump or anti-Trump. I am pro-kindness. That's all I'm going to say.
And you know
and
why?
I'm pro-comedy.
We're pro-comedy.
Exactly.
So the thing that pisses me off the most about him is that he did not come out and go, you know what? This Alec Baldwin thing is hilarious. I love it so much.
Right.
And that Sean Spicer hasn't come out and been like, Melissa McCarthy's nailing it. This is so funny.
Oh, my God. That Sean Spicer thing.
If they had done that, first off, they would have looked very, very human.
And cool.
And cool.
Yeah.
And there would be nothing left to talk about. They would have eliminated that discussion from any new, any conversation. It would have been, we're all enjoying it. Foolish not to embrace that.
They should even take it another step forward and have Spicy, Melissa McCarthy, when he does a press conference, when he talks to the press, they should have the motorized podium there for him and have him running around.
He should come out as Melissa McCarthy.
Well, he should absolutely come out at some point, but he's already, and maybe.
No, I know, it won't happen.
I apologize for. And maybe in Spicer's defense, he's being told, you got to go out there and hate this. You can't say that you're for. Who knows?
Yeah. Man, but I don't know, man.
But it just comes down to comedy. There, stop being so offended. When people disagree with you, don't take it as a personal attack. That's a little different because they're clearly attacking him.
Right.
But let's say Jeff, you are
an artist.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. McGee.
You're a Republican.
He's a blogger.
You're a Republican and I'm a Democrat. Everything comes down to self-consciousness, doesn't it? You're a Republican, I'm a Democrat, let's say, for the sake of our... You are telling me your views, and I'm getting mad at you and tell... Isn't it because I doubt my own views and I feel like I'm being personally attacked? Whereas if I were confident in my beliefs, I'd go, you know what, I respect your opinion, I feel differently. I think it all comes down to people are so self-conscious about their own beliefs and feelings that they feel attacked and offended when they shouldn't.
Yeah. I don't know if this kind of falls in that category, but it's kind of like a lot of Democrats were really upset at libertarians for voting. Like, how could you vote for them? Why would you do that? You're getting upset for someone expressing their opinion, voting for who they wanted to, and you're going to get
right.
Yeah, get upset about the people that didn't vote, not the people, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there was
be confident with
Trump won by 77,000 votes in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Pennsylvania or something.
But it's just like
you threw away your vote.
Right.
Is what they say.
People just think they're right. Like I'm right, everyone needs to believe what I believe. I'm like, no, just
I mean, it comes down to anything. Weight, age.
Well, there's this great episode of one of my favorite television series of all time, Six Feet Under on HBO. Mm-hmm. And there's an aunt who comes to visit the family, and the daughter is an artist. And
much like me.
Much like Jeff. And the daughter, after much convincing from her aunt, finally shows her aunt some pieces that she's worked on. She's some paintings. And the aunt goes, "Wow, this isn't really very good, is it? I'm not even sure if you're an artist."
Oh. Yeah.
And the girl is crushed, obviously. But the aunt follows that with, "You know, if someone came in here and told me I were purple, and knowing I'm, in this case, this woman happened to be white, I would realize that I'm not purple and not let it bother me at all."
Yeah.
If someone calls me and says I'm not an artist, well, deep down I know I'm an artist, so I'm going to keep creating. And she explains that's why she said that to her, because to really check and see if she wanted to be an artist or not. So my point is that if someone comes in here and calls me a minority-hating asshole, well, I realize that's not the case, so I'm not going to be upset about
right, yeah, you know? Exactly.
I mean, it's silly and stupid. This is like coming in calling me purple.
You yeah.
know? Just like in The Matrix, the Oracle told Neo that he wasn't the one.
Right.
But then even she found out that he was the one.
Because she told him what he needed to hear.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. My sugar cookies are burning.
That's all I remember.
I had a guy on Instagram.
I don't think she said that.
That's okay. Don't worry about the vase. What?
What?
Crash.
Yeah. Okay.
Chris Spangle posted a thing of he and I eating pudding on Instagram. and the caption was something, men in their 30s enjoying pudding.
Yeah.
In the middle of the afternoon.
30s?
Yeah. Somebody wrote, yeah, sure you are. You're Josh is clearly in his early 40s. And I wrote back, 38. And then he wrote back, "You bet," with a winky face or whatever. Like, and then I went, "No, I'm 38. I don't need to argue this anymore."
Right.
I would love to.
Right.
See, your birth certificate.
Right.
Man, that's the whole thing, isn't it? I mean, in this college scenario, down deep in my heart, I know the colleges and the people who are saying that these comedians can't present these topics on stage the way they want to. The problem is with the colleges and the boards who say you can't talk about people.
Well, the students.
And the students.
Way more the students
and
now.
The students are
pressuring the boards.
Louder about it. And
yeah.
Which is its own form of racism.
Exactly.
And segregating.
And isn't it all – you can't make fun of – don't make fun of women. They're going to get their feelings hurt. Don't make fun of gay people. They're going to get their feelings hurt. Don't make fun of ethnic group. Don't – I tend to believe these groups are much stronger than you're giving them credit for.
Yeah.
Women aren't going to all of a sudden go, "Oh, we lost our vote to write, our right to vote.
And our vote to write. I can't write anymore.
We lost our right to vote because that guy said we were lesser people." What are you talking about? These groups are so much stronger than you're giving them credit for.
I agree.
And what kind of opinion of yourself must you have that, well, I'm going to tackle this situation all by myself and save the world. That's what
that's the professional Yelpers. They get on Yelp and they're just that takes a special person.
See, but it's the whole social media thing, and I don't know what the mission statement is of Twitter or Instagram or whatever these things. But I don't think it's, okay, we're going to start arguments and we're going to have people shot over something that started on Twitter or
– IMDb, Internet Movie Database, just said they're getting rid of all their comment sections because they're not positive. They're not helpful to anybody. Mm-hmm. It's just trolls.
Comments are just – I am so not that person in person – you know, on a conventional basis, and to be that way on social media, I just don't understand.
You are a pleasure to follow on social media because you celebrate what you like.
I try to
always.
Why don't you tell us who? Why don't you stop being a pussy and tell us who you voted for? And shit like, what did I tweet the other day? And well, it used to be no matter what I tweeted, I would get this tweet back. Well, I tweet, sure is a sunny day today. It's a gorgeous day to get outside.
Yeah.
Have a great one. And I would, almost every time I'll get back, well, it's not going to be a great one for the Redskins. They still suck.
Right.
Know? I mean,
right.
I just don't know.
It's a little different. They think they're being your friend. They're nudging you. They're teasing you.
See, yeah.
Much like you, Tom, Christy, and I tease each other every morning. They think it's their way of being in on that.
Sure. I agree with that.
But I cry. But I cry every day. Well, you tease me.
it's a very strange relationship. There are a lot of very kind people who have been messaging all of us.
Certainly.
They're,
absolutely.
And that's, and,
well, and that's the other thing. I mean, if it wasn't for social media, quite honestly, I have an incredible relationship with my oldest daughter right now, something I couldn't have said 2 years ago.
Oh, how
and
cool
it,
is that?
And it was just because I started, you know, I dipped my toe in the water and we had, you know, and I'm not going to go into other than I'm her father and she's my daughter and there are basic problems. You just start there, you know, and if one person's looking for faults in the other, I mean, you're going to, you know, eventually find them. But if it hadn't been for, you know, me commenting on Instagram about a couple of her pictures and then she commenting back and then, hey, let's get to, you know, and then we had just the greatest visit a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, but it's like anything. I mean, great power comes
I was
Spider-Man,
just thinking that.
You know,
I yes.
mean, you know, it's
Uncle Ben's rice.
Yeah.
What?
So what are you going to do? I mean, I common sense and kindness and I don't know. But you can't tell people who want to, you know, just fucking with you, calling you an asshole. And I'm like, well, you know, how about not doing that? You know? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. There are different ways. It's still a cold medium, social media.
It's very cold. I read it however I think it's being presented.
Yeah.
And I know you do this because you and I are a lot more similar than we'd like to admit to each other, but don't you apply inflection to texts that you get and all the tweets?
Everybody does.
It's only natural.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
It's like, hey, how's it going today? And I hear, hey, how's it going today?
Right. You know? Yeah.
And I always do it negatively. And obviously, that's got a lot more to do with me than the person texting me, Jeff.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that IMDb has stopped the comments because I have a movie that's coming out. And
oh shit! We haven't even talked about the movie.
Let's do this so we can talk about
okay.
the movie.
Oh, okay. I didn't. I wasn't. Like,
no.
I was not trying to
hit. No. I tried to hit it an hour ago. So
you're right, and I'm. You're right, and that's exactly right. And I need to talk to you folks right now about stamps.com. I'm so excited about this.
Now, do you guys have your own here? It is the most. It is so efficient.
We are starting. I just filled out all the necessary correspondence with the folks at stamps.com.
It's wonderful,
and it's my scale.
Yes,
and everything is on the way. Oh, so
you are absolutely going to love
the brand new Chick McGee Show T-shirts are
being discussed.
Are being discussed. They're not even they're nowhere near being going to be manufactured, but as soon as they are, it's stamps.com time. Now, you've gone to the post office, and that it's just no good. Anything you can do at the post office, you can now do right from, I can do it right from this room in my own home with stamps.com. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. And unlike the post office, stamps.com never closes. You can get postage whenever you need it, 24 hours a day, 7 days. Let's say in the middle of the night, oh, I forgot, or you get an email, I need a Chick McGee Show T-shirt.
Yeah, you got an order in.
You can get up and take care of it. And I can't wait for stamps.com on my scale and so I can open the Chick McGee branch of the United States Post Office.
And you could come to Chick's house and you can have him print postage for you.
And did you know that if you
limited
call,
hours available.
If you can call, offer not be honored. And if you call, you set it up with your post office, they will come to your house and pick up your packages.
No extra charge.
No extra charge.
Oh, my God.
They just come and get it. That's right. And plus, right now, oh, please, baby Jesus, please, use this code for this fabulous special offer. The code is McGee, McGee. A 4-week trial just for you includes postage, and you get a digital scale, but you have to use the special code, McGee. Go to stamps.com right now before you do anything else. Click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in McGee. M-C-G-E-E.
And just about everybody out there sells stuff on eBay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't have to have a weird podcast.
No, you're selling stuff. You're buying stuff.
You're a stand-up comedian. You're sending t-shirts out.
Yep.
Stamps.com. Uh-huh. You love
shipping out movies.
Sending movies.
Exactly.
That's right. Stamps.com, and the code is McGee. Man, I'd appreciate that if you'd put that in there. That would be really cool. Go to stamps.com. Never have to go to the post office again. It's a really cool idea. Stamps.com.
I think it's amazing. Do it.
Code right. McGee.
All right. Well, Josh, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys.
No, we're going to talk about... I am so excited. I'm holding the brand new movie that Josh is in called The Imposters. Now, not only are you in this, but...
Impersonators.
Did I say Imposters?
Yeah.
That's a great movie with Oliver Platt.
God, it is such a good movie.
Oliver Platt and Stanley Tucci.
It is a great
movie. Oh, I love that movie.
Campbell Scott is super funny in it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's so great. But this movie is called The Impersonator.
You know another good movie?
What?
Jumanji. That was really good.
Jumanji's.
They're remaking it with The Rock.
Not going to watch it.
Are they really?
Yes.
They can't make that without Robert. Really?
Mm-hmm.
A follow up on The Matrix.
I was just going to say, you know what else is a great movie? The Matrix.
Yes. They say they're up for it. There's nothing necessarily in the works.
Oh, okay.
Keanu said, yes, I'd love to, but the brothers would have to be involved,
sure.
Yada, yada, yada. So that's all it was.
The sisters.
The sisters
of savings are going to be involved?
See, now somebody out there is going, hey, they reassigned their gender. Stop getting on their ass. I mean, it's like, a little awkward. And it's like after you get, oh, okay, you're girls now. All right. Yeah.
As my friend Joe.
But it's not mean-spirited, believe me.
My friend Joe Murray, St. Louis comedian, once said on stage, he goes, look, I believe in your rights, and anybody who's transitioning, God bless you, but I'm from a small town in Missouri. You're going to have to give me a minute on this.
give me a second. Well, that's the thing about the bathrooms. I mean, I will tell you – This goes no farther. I guess it would be further. This goes no further. Okay?
Just
stays right in this room?
Yeah. Stays right here.
I have a long history of not only do I eat tuna, egg, and chicken salad on the road at the convenience stores.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and again, Daddy has to go to the bathroom.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So if the women's room is locked and if the women's room is unlocked, there's no one in there, and the men's room is locked, I'm going to the ladies to use the bathroom. And I always thought that was against the law.
I've seen it happen.
You've seen me do that.
Yeah,
right?
We did this. We went to see Bob Schneider last summer.
That's exactly right.
And we went to the grocery store to get the 78 red ketchup.
That's exactly right.
And you had to go.
I had to go.
Jeffy went in the boys. I think you went in the girls.
Men's.
And I went in the girl.
little boys.
Remember that trip, though? We went from Indy to Chicago. Chick didn't go to the bathroom once.
That
was insane.
I expected like three stops.
I know.
I still tell people that at parties.
That is correct. Wow.
I was on it.
Nice.
Just sometimes. Sometimes it works okay and sometimes it doesn't.
But I'm just like, we were going to Chicago. Chick didn't use the bathroom once. Like, who are you and who's Chick? Why are you talking to me?
Why are you talking to me? So, Joshua, how do I get a copy of my very own, a Blu-ray copy of The Impersonators? Oh, and tell your Blu-ray tweet story. What was that? Didn't you tweet the Blu-ray and somebody was like tweeted back shittily, didn't they?
I'm trying to remember. I'm sure.
I don't have a Blu-ray player. I just have a DVD player.
Oh, yeah. They were just asking. They said, hey, why isn't this available on DVD?
And you know what you should have tweeted back? Poor.
No, I just said it was a business decision from the producer who, like, hey, look, physical media is already almost out the door.
Seriously. Yeah.
So why would we do... You know, DVD and Blu-ray when Blu-ray's now more popular.
And Blu-ray player will play your old DVDs.
Yes. Right.
So if you upgrade to it.
A DVD player won't play
in a Blu-ray.
Yeah, so. Blu-rays are backward compatible. So if I want to get a copy of The Impersonators, and if I don't want to get a copy of, what the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, have you ever tried to put a DVD in a Blu-ray player?
It works just fine. Are you talking about
Blu-ray and a DVD player?
No, DVD, no.
Oh, you can, like, travel back in time.
Shut up, Jeff.
Does that really happen?
It rips a hole in the space-time continuum.
So you can get – we're actually doing a pre-order right now for The Impersonators at thatjosharnold.com.
At thatjosharnold.
Yes, you can go in. You can get it for $20. After the pre-order, it's going to be $25, maybe $27, depending on what they decide to price it at. The reason we're doing a pre-order is because we don't have the money to make the Blu-rays right now. So the pre-order will pay for the production of the Blu-rays.
So not only are you going to get a great movie with our buddy Josh Arnold in it, but you're also going to be helping the entire company move forward.
It's exactly. It's like a Kickstarter.
That's exactly right.
Without the scam of the Kickstarter thing.
Well, some people
not throw around the world.
Kickstarter's
scam,
good. Indiegogo's good. Those aren't scams.
GoFundMe's good.
Some people
use them.
Have misused them for sure.
That's what I'm saying, I guess.
Now, we could have done Kickstarter Indiegogo for this, right. And maybe we should have because people – those are trusted sites, and you know what the hell's joshjournal.com. But you can totally trust that it's PayPal, everything.
Yeah,
and yeah, you'd be helping us out, and
you get
we're helping
cool
you out a little bit because you get it'll be cheaper for you now,
and
you
if
can
you wanna,
support indie filmmaking.
Oh, that's a great cause, independent filmmaking. Yeah. Also, if you go to chickmcgee.com, and there's a snappy little donate button there if you'd like to donate anything to the Chick McGee Show, so we can get.
Jeff needs to pay off his car.
Needs to pay off his car, and maybe he'll get him out of that group home he's been living
in. So, knock him out at once. Donate a little to Chick. Buy my movie.
We don't talk about that a lot.
It's hard to self-promote, isn't it?
It's hard to ask for money.
Yeah, it is.
Friends it's hard to ask for money from anybody.
But in this case, it's a little less hard because this podcast, everybody knows it's a quality podcast.
So it is a quality
podcast. They're donating something good. My movie,
It's a quality movie.
The movie I'm in, a guy named Joshua Hall directed it from out of Anderson, Indiana. It's very low budget. I'm not going to lie to you. This is not top-notch special effects, top-notch anything, but there are a lot of jokes in it.
The writing is great.
Oh, cool.
The writing is very good.
And you're the lead, yeah?
Yeah, yes. Okay.
Uh-huh. And what's the name of your superhero? Oh, well, go ahead. What's the plot?
So a group of birthday party impersonators. So
use ragtag.
Oh, yeah, sure. We're absolutely a ragtag group. You know those people who go to your birthday party, they dress up as Spider-Man. Usually they look and act like the hero. We're terrible at our jobs. We're just not good at it at all. And we get asked by a very small town, hey, can you just show up? To our town, the morale around here is awful. We just want to boost some people's morale and just cheer them up by dressing up and being silly. And well, we go to this small town, and this small-time criminal thinks that we're actual superheroes, and we get in some trouble. And we actually have to save the day at the end, but it's not family friendly. It's very
hard R.
It's a hard R.
Oh, it is. Okay,
Frank language.
Yes, yeah. Plenty of Frank language. Some body fluids being thrown around.
Oh,
yeah, it's. Jeff and Chick have both seen it.
Yep, right. And yep. I absolutely loved it. 5 stars on a scale of 5.
Well, thank you. And I'm sure. And you guys are also very. You know what it is. It's
right.
A low budget movie, but there's good jokes in it.
Yeah. If you enjoy Josh on the show, it's Josh just doing jokes. Basically, it's great.
A lot of that.
And
a lot of really other cool actors
in a superhero costume. Yeah.
Nothing funnier than a fat guy in spandex. That's a good sight gag.
Chick and I have both been in some pretty low-budget local movies, and it was kind of fun being a part of it. You're there most scenes, I assume, for this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How was that?
Your call sheet was jam-packed, I'm guessing.
Yes. Right? Yeah. They were long. They were like 12, 13, 14-hour days and crammed in about a 12-day shoot.
Okay.
I was sick as a dog by the end of it.
Oh, okay.
Your body's just so run down. But the good thing is, you're around a lot of cool people, a lot of funny people, and
creating something's fun.
Yeah,
I mean, it really is. Knowing
all
what
we
you're
did, and by the way, this kind of goes on. There will be plenty of people who are offended by this movie.
Uh-oh.
We make some off-color jokes and things that wouldn't be considered politically, correct. But we. We didn't do it out of malice, you know? We weren't trying to hurt anyone. We were just trying to be as silly and goofy as possible and just load it up with as many jokes as we could. And I think we did it.
So when you get to the point where you have enough pre-orders and then you're going to – or do you have a timetable in mind?
Thank you for asking. February 24th is the end of the pre-order. So get on that.
There you go.
ThatJoshArnold.com because once that pre-order ends – the price is going to go up a little bit.
As we're recording this, 5 days away
from
the pre-order. So you got to get on it.
Thank you guys so much for letting me talk about it. And everybody out there who's going to order one. I really appreciate all the support. And we can make more if this goes well.
So put yourself out of the answer for a question I'm going to ask. of those people, the other people in the movie, who's most likely to take this into a bigger role, into a different movie?
That's an interesting question because they're a real man. I mean, it's not just one person. There's a handful.
Yeah. The older gentleman who plays I'm not sure.
The Flying Fox?
Yes.
Yeah, Raymond Kester is a terrific actor.
He is a wonderful actor.
Yes. Yeah,
he's funny and
he's always doing things. He's always in.
Yeah, he could he's got character history ahead of him, if that's a sentence at all, of being a character actor. He could
absolutely
do that.
You're 100% right. And Ellie Church has a big fan base in the indie horror community. She's
the blonde girl?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Uh-huh. Frankie Chubb, who played Sparrow.
Ellie at the convention where I saw them?
Yeah.
Movie?
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I thought, she was very nice.
Yeah. And Frankie Chubb's a very funny guy. And
Chubb.
Is that his real name?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. He's a stand-up buddy of mine from St. Louis. Yeah. Now lives in L.A. And people could definitely watch this and go, I want to work with that guy.
Yeah. He was very funny.
Yeah. But that's, I could go on and on about everybody pretty much.
Good. Didn't you write the movie?
Or co-wrote it. Yep.
Co-wrote it?
With the director. Yeah.
Joshua. Yep. Right?
How does that work? Do you go over every sentence and go, you know what? I don't like the preposition in that one.
I do.
I bet you do.
Yeah, but that's more of not a snob thing. It's a comedy thing. The sentence is less clunky and we get the joke out better if that one word's gone, if that kind of thing's gone. But in making this, so much of it was improvised on set. And a lot of those lines ended up making it in the movie because they were just funnier than what we had written, or they were more in the moment.
Did you do that a handful of times? Like, can we do another take?
Almost every scene.
Every scene, you had a little take on it.
Yeah, we would get what was written in the script, and we go, all right, let's kind of have some fun.
Okay,
here.
That's awesome. That had to be fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
It's good to know you pick the preposition and are picky like that before we write our own movie, because I will not have that in the writing.
No, you won't even notice it. I'll take what we write and rewrite it on my own.
Yeah, you will.
Wait a minute.
But you won't even notice. I promise you, you would look at the script and go, man, that's a good joke, as opposed to, he changed the two words here.
You can't take out baloney. That's the whole joke.
Oh, I would never take out baloney, yeah. But I would take out
baloney?
Yes, yeah.
Of the baloney?
Uh-huh. All those would be gone.
It's a baloney. And baloney.
That, josharnold.com. And,
yes, sir.
Pre-order the impersonators. Please do that for us.
Was it the first movie you ever been in?
Yeah. Yep.
Do you want to be in another one?
Yeah.
Did it give you the bug?
Oh, I've always wanted more to be. I've always wanted to act.
Yeah.
But I'll be completely honest. I am starting to think less about, Hollywood – and more about just
Bollywood.
There you go.
And more about making movies on my own or on our own and self-distributing them, because anybody can make a movie now that looks like anything that's being put out.
That's and with technology, you can have your own radio network. With the podcast, you can have your own movie. Yeah, can do it pretty much yourself.
And that way I wouldn't have to – the job I have now on Bob and Tom, I love it so much and I don't want to go anywhere. And so I don't – this would be nice ancillary stuff to do.
Speaking of Bob and Tom, and yes, you're the newest member 6-7 months ago?
Yeah, maybe? August 1st was the official.
August 1st, okay.
I'm on the Bob and Tom show, too.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Jeff's on the Bob and Tom.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I'm behind the glass.
That's right, yeah.
How's the reception been from comedian friends, knowing that you're now a permanent part of the show?
Yeah, kiss ass. How's that going?
Kiss ass?
Yes. We've been talking.
You know there's... That's another thing that caught me by surprise in hanging out with a lot more comedians than I ever used to, was that, do you hear that Vibbert got a sitcom? Vibbert got a sitcom? Why the fuck would they give Vibbert a sitcom? I mean, it's funny, but...
It's called a blog.
It really does
I don't like the way
it does, yeah.
You know it does.
And there are, some comedians are more bitter than others. This goes to a point that Chick made a little earlier, which is usually the more bitter the comedian, the less good
secure
they are, because people who are good tend to not worry about other, they tend to celebrate other people's successes because they know they're doing good themselves. So most people have been very nice, very excited.
Good.
And then other people that I thought maybe I'd hear from, I haven't. And it's been, it's kind of interesting. But for the most part, reception's been really good. So
It'll take another year or more as those people come in anyway and see you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah.
Kind of in person.
Yeah.
So people you know haven't reached out to you yet. They've turned their back. The success is driving them away. I'm just trying to create drama. I just want.
Seems like you've changed a little bit. I don't know.
Well, thankfully, I'm glad to be rid of such riffraff.
That's right.
Yes.
It's about time for a clearing, if you will, of
scorched earth.
Do your parents think it's a big deal? Do they tell their friends?
My dad is so thrilled.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, he just could. When I first got hired, he would not stop talking. He was like, I can't. I am just tickled pink that you
that's
have
this great.
Job. Yeah,
that's great. Awesome.
Is that your dad's voice?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
Your dad says tickled pink?
He did. Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Okay, let's do your dad.
Tickled pink.
Your dad walks in the room and Mrs. Monkey greets him. Go.
Oh, who should talk? Oh, do you like to pet me? I love you. I don't know who you are, but I love you.
Oh, who do we have here?
Oh, please pet me. Oh, dear God, please pet me.
All right.
I'm going to shit on the floor if you don't pet me. I swear to God.
You're a good-looking dog, I guess.
Thank you. I love you. I don't know who you are, but I love you.
This reminds me of my dog that I had one time.
Pretty baby monkey. Bless her heart.
She is a sweetie.
Do we get to go play with them now?
Yes, let's go play with them and cook some lunch.
And watch... Too fast,
too furious,
too fast for y'all.
How's too fast, too furious? It really is kind of catchy. We were listening to it before we started the podcast there in the kitchen.
I'll bring it up. Yeah. Who sings it, Jeff?
Ludacris.
Ludacris.
Too fast,
too furious,
too fast for y'all.
And that's what it's called.
Too fast, too furious.
Furious.
Mrs. Monkey on the cover of
I love too fast, too furious.
Was it like a radio hit?
Can you imagine? I'm not sure. I just know it was from the soundtrack. Can you imagine Mrs. Monkey like shifting gears on a car?
Can you see her?
A little
can
palm of gear shift.
Got one hand on the wheel, one hand on the shift knob.
Yeah, turning the knob on the Nas.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to blow this fucker away. That's what I'm going to do.
I love when movies or whatever film the dog's paw reaching and you just see the paw.
It's always hilarious. Like, yeah.
So funny. Ludacris, too fast. I had to YouTube it. I don't know if you're into the YouTubes, Jason.
Well,
I'll just keep singing it.
Jeffrey Rachmat Yachty.
Don't know who that is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are you on Spotify?
Yeah.
No, I'll go to YouTube.
I think Jason is actually like got some sort of stock. In Spotify.
No, it's because everything's right here.
What's in my head.
This happens. This has happened the second time in my presence that Spotify has not had it. You know,
I think Jason signed a deal with Spotify for this podcast.
I hear
you. Didn't tell us about it, and he's getting all the money.
Here's the thing.
I hear you,
Jason. Has allowed me to be a member of his quote family.
Oh,
unquote,
really?
On Spotify,
I get to enjoy Spotify because of Jason.
So thank you,
why
sir.
It got a little quiet.
Too fast.
Turn it up. Jam. Turn up my headphones.
Turn it up. Too fast.
Thank goodness we got a picture of Ludacris.
Any minute he'll say, "Too fast." Too
fast. Oh.
Oh, God.
A too furious.
He's from St. Louis. Isn't Ludacris from St. Louis?
No.
Atlanta.
Oh, where?
Nelly is from St. Louis.
St. Lunatics! Damn!
Thank you, boys.
Was this in the first one?
This is in the second one.
This is the second one.
Yeah. So I said too fast. Too furious.
Oh, maybe I was spelling it wrong. Was it
I don't
two?
Think Vin Diesel is T-O-O. In part two, by the way.
What?
Yeah, I think it's Vinless.
This is an... It's an outrage.
I'm not going to do that. Mark St. Lucius?
St. Clair.
St. Clair or whatever.
Yeah,
he's not in this one.
Mark St. Clair.
Josh Arnold has been our guest. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you.
His website is thatjosharnold.com. Please pre-order NP. I got to go pee. Pre-order his movie, The Impersonators. You only have like 5 days to do that. So
maybe three or four.
It expires on the 24th. So please pre-order that now. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you again, Josh.
Thank you. Love you guys.
This has been the Chick McGee Show on Podcast One.
Good night, everybody.
There's nothing like the thrill of a last-second victory. That buzzer beater from 20 feet out. The game-winning field goal that just makes it as the clock ticks down. That great limited-time deal on a new 2017 Volkswagen at the Volkswagen Model Year End Event. We need to make room for the 2018s, so this could be your last chance to get a great deal on select 2017 Volkswagen models. Visit your nearest Volkswagen dealer for a test drive today. But hurry, because the clock is ticking and we can't call time out.
Virginia buries its dead. I'm Rita Foley with an AP News Minute. Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe is talking about President Trump's response to the violence in Charlottesville over the weekend at a white supremacist rally.
Those remarks are dividing people. We cannot be dividing people.
Governor McAuliffe told CBS this morning he knows two of the three people who were killed that day.
I have lost three great citizens yesterday, Heather Heyer's funeral. Tomorrow we will have to put to rest Trooper Burke Bates, who had been part of my executive protection detail, and then on Saturday, Lieutenant Jay Cullen, who'd been my pilot. This breaks your heart.
Heather Heyer died when a car rammed a group of protesters. The two Virginia state troopers were killed while monitoring the rally when their helicopter went down. Prison visitations are off at a state facility or all state facilities in Florida, where they say they have credible intelligence indicating some sort of security threat. There are no details available yet. I'm Rita Foley.